This is Sienna Gold. I'm so irreverent. I'm bad. How are you doing? I am naughty. How are you, folks? Gosh, it's been a month. It doesn't seem... That just zooms by. My name is Sienna Gold, and this show is called Down to Earth. I'm so happy to have you all here, whomever is listening. With me, again, as usual, my partners in crime. We have two today. Normally, it's just Pam here because Rebecca's schedule doesn't always allow for her to be here. But today, we have Pam Davis and Rebecca White. So would you please say hello, ladies?
Hello.
Hello.
And we have the mystery engineer. We don't identify him, but he's here, and I'm so happy he is. So, I want to talk about being a robot. That's what I want to talk about today, how we follow all these rules. And the way this came about was talking to some friends of mine, and we were talking about weeds. Weeds in the garden, weeds on the lawn. And she said, "Oh, I hate those weeds." I said, "Why do you hate weeds?" "Oh, because I hate them. They're ugly." I said, "Well, what's ugly about weeds? They're a plant. Why are they so ugly?" "Well, because your lawn is supposed to look a certain way. The landscaping is supposed to look a certain way." "Well, who said the landscaping is supposed to look a certain way?" Well, that's, you know, that's how it is. That's the best way to do things. But why is it the best way to do things? It's because that's what we were taught and conditioned to believe. And I really feel that we've got a lot of things going on in the world that are like that. I was talking to somebody about paying rent, and you know how I am about being on time. Do not be on time when you come to see me, please. I don't need you to be on time, but only because I want you to feel what it feels like to not be on time and the panic that you go into for the same, it's along the same lines as we've got to get rid of all the weeds. I happen to not, I don't even know a weed personally from any other kind of a plant. I don't have any problem with it. And in the meantime, because they're weeds, we have things like Roundup being sprayed all over the place. I was talking to a gardener recently who was being responsible for a garden that I'm going to be living near sometime in the very near future. And so I asked him, I said, do you use any chemicals? "Oh, yeah, Roundup." I said, "Roundup." I said, "Do you know that that's cancerous?" And he said, "Oh yeah, I've been dealing with chemicals for 20 years, and I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing with the chemicals, and I don't want any. Personally, I don't want any chemicals." In the meantime, I find out that he's got cancer, and he's just and there's a you know. Anyway, it's not the optimum, and I probably needed to not say the name of the product that he was using, but I'm not speaking against it. I'm just saying it's not exactly what it is that I would choose to have in my world. So anyway, anybody have anything to say? I'm seeing your faces looking at me. I can see Pam's got either one of you, whatever you decide which one of you want to start.
The word that came to mind, first word that came to mind when you and I were even first talking, was the word programming. And I do feel that we are programmed, like your friend with the weeds, to think a certain way, only because society says that's the way we need to think. And I think that that's where the weeds are ugly. You know, I live in a place where if I tried to get every weed, I would never make it.
Right.
So you learn to live with them and love them for being the plants that they are. That's just me, my opinion. But at the same time, there are other programs that we all have, you know, that we have to do because somebody says that's what we have to do.
Right. Exactly. Did you have something?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Like the programming, I just had a conversation with someone last night about programming and the type of programming that I'm trying to, be conscious of and aware of. And there's some things that even subconsciously, you know, that are programmed that we're just not aware, you know, that we are kind of trapped in that kind of thinking that shapes our perspective.
Right.
And I know a lot of conflict comes out of that. I know personally, you know, I have my own, you know, programming on how my life should go, you know, from the beginning. You know, you go to school, you get, you know, a degree, you get like this career, then, you know, your family, blah, 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 you know. Mm-hmm. And then there's a certain amount of shame when things aren't like
the way they're
supposed
to be.
Going the way they're supposed to be. And then, you know, I feel like I'm dealing with some of that shame now. Like, you know, where am I in my life right now?
Right.
You know, I don't have that, you know, it doesn't look like what, you know, the programming that I, you know, have been through in my life. It doesn't look like that. So am I doing things right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, that's, I feel like a lot of people feel shame.
Well, that's, you know? You said an operative word there, and that's right. The phrase also, am I doing things right? And who decides? And we follow these rules. If you want to do just about anything, you've got to fill out paperwork upside down and sideways, all sorts of red tape that you have to go through to do anything. People complaining constantly about having to wait in line at the DMV, for example. And why does it have to be set up this way? And my sense is that we, at some point, it's whomever it is that's got these, it's got us rigged like this, realized that we were riggable and took advantage of it. I don't really understand or really honestly care that they are doing that. I don't understand why or care that they're doing that. All I say is, why not look at it from a different perspective? Why not do things in a different way? And that's hard with the way things are set up. You have to, the way you're buying things and credit cards and mm-hmm. your cell phone, it is hard to step outside the norm, but it's not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there's a certain amount of security, though, right?
In the norm.
In having, you know, a set rules, you
right.
know, to live by in
right.
a certain type of programming. There's a lot of security in that because you know that it, you know, from experience or other people's experience, it looks like it works and we can get what we want and, you know, we can be happy, you know, if we follow a certain program. But we're all different human beings, you know, not every program works, you know, for everyone else. And so then going back to that shame thing, you know, and that feeling like right or wrong type thing mm-hmm. can kind of like seep into that, you know, will seep into, you know, that mentality like, oh, that worked for them. How come it's not working for me?
Right.
Something must be wrong
with
you.
Me. Exactly.
You know?
And the thing is, too, that in order to enjoy that comfort, that safety that you're talking about that goes along with the programming, you tend to also learn to ignore the discomfort. And, you know, I this earth is so interesting. It's such an incredible ride here. And given the fact that it's not solid, let's just break it down, something I talk about a lot. Mm-hmm. According to quantum physics, nothing on the planet is solid. Okay, so we're in these cars and we're having this experience at the risk of sounding, you know how I feel about all that stuff. That's why the show's called Down to Earth. I'm trying to keep it real here, folks. As real as I can on a planet that's not solid. So things are, the planet's not solid. And I was thinking about how life goes. So when you're a little baby, you come out of the womb, you cry, you eat, you sleep, you poop, and then you grow a little older and you eat, go to sleep, go to school. Then you eat, go to sleep, go to work. Then you eat, go to sleep, and then you die, you know, or whatever happens in between. And you're still pooping and stinking the whole time. So the thing is that all the things that go on in between those activities, I think, are what make up life. And part of life has to do with being programmed. Again, it's not for me that I'm against the programming. It's that my sense is that what we're doing here is discovering ourselves. I think that might be the purpose of life, is to get a handle on who it is that you are. I know that this makes me emotional because of the discovery that I've made and the tenacity I believe I have in regards to all of this. My life is showing me to myself. And I am learning that nothing on this planet works the way that you think it does. Nothing works the way that you think it does. We are, all of the societal norms don't apply when you are really in touch with who it is that you are inside of this body, because who it is that you are inside of this body is in direct partnership with whatever it is that grows those plants. It is an aspect of that. I'm not trying to sound crazy here, folks, but that's what I'm discovering in my life. And because of that, my life doesn't work. As you all know, people who are close to me just kind of look at me and say, how did you do that? And I didn't do it by myself. That's where I'm taking people. Did you have something to say?
Well, yeah, more like a question for you. Like, yes. Was that kind of you breaking out of your own programming? Like, to where you are right now in the realization, is that like you breaking out of programming from... you know, your childhood and
I broke into my programming.
To your own programming.
I went into my programming the pain that it caused me. Okay. And that's how I discovered the programming. And that's how I discovered myself.
So you went in.
I went. Yeah, that's where what I always say. It's not about changing yourself. It's not about healing and shift and making yourself different. It's mm-hmm. not about that. Or loving the parts of you that you don't love. I don't see that. I see you are who you are. This is your experience on the planet. Mm-hmm. Planet's not solid. This body is a car. And this is about shifting, coming in and having the Earth perspective and evolving to the perspective that tells you, wait a minute, this is not me in here. And who it is that I am is... what it is that I'm discovering. Mm-hmm. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Going in, like facing it.
Allowing it.
There's a, this evening I'm going to kind of like a group, you know, yeah. psychotherapy thing.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. It's going to be new, you know, I don't do anything. So, you know, why not, you know, break out and go to a group psychotherapy thing. But a lot of, you know, the conversation I had with facilitator was that, you know, that's one of the things that is done is going into the programming, like, mm-hmm. or at least that's one of the things that I kind of saw as like an important thing to do, to like face the programming and seeing and like allowing it to come up, what to do with it. I don't know, but you know,
it going into the pain the programming causes is even more accurate. Going into the pain that you're in is the bottom line. And going into what it is that you think you need to remedy, what it is that you use to remedy it, what you use to suppress your pain, and allowing that too, because the suppression is not bad.
That's hard work.
Yeah. It's tricky because we're conditioned, we're programmed to think we have to heal ourselves and we're wounded and all of that stuff that I just don't see. I mean, I came from that whole train of thought, but I don't see that now. I don't see wounding. I see opportunity and experiences. That's what I see. Did you have something, Pam?
Well, I did, but I like the idea of the wounding thing, because I grew up with that same thing. And I was thinking about part of our programming comes from our parents and their parents and their parents, because they've always done these things the same all the way through.
Right.
And I've been talking to young kids, well, I believe this because my family's always believed this. Right. My dad believes this. My grandfather believes this. And I think that that's one of the ways that society does the programming,
mm-hmm.
is telling us that, well, you have to do this. When I was young, I had the old thing, children should be seen and not heard.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably affected a lot of the fact that I wanted to say things and couldn't.
Mm.
So I stuffed it, right? We've talked about that. But then I go to some place now and I see kids all happy and laughing and everything. And I'm so glad that that changed.
Mm-hmm.
But it changed because people wanted it to change.
Mm.
And that's where I think that if you don't want the programming, you have to find yourself,
mm-hmm.
which is what you were saying, and be that person. Mm-hmm. It's not always that easy.
No, it's really challenging, which is the beauty of the planet.
Yeah.
Because I look at my life and just see how awesome my life is and marvel at it, really,
mm-hmm.
and think about all the hoo-ha I went through to get here. It yeah. wasn't fun. It was really hard. It was really scary and really, really difficult, but wow, what a payoff. I'm really stunned. And the planet is very confusing, and it's awesome in the confusion.
Right.
There are so many things to do, so many different trains of thought, mm-hmm. so many people who are sure that they've got the right answer to things, and punishing other people for not agreeing with them, and people who are open, people who are closed. There's a lot going on here, a lot of choices. The programming is always interesting to me because it really... Based on, again, on my experience, it takes you really far from who it is that you are. Mm-hmm. I always mention racism at some point here and there, and think about it. If you ask somebody why they're racist, well, because my dad is racist. Mm-hmm. Well, why is your dad racist? Because his dad's racist. And or they won't even say racist. They'll say, well, we don't like those people. But why? Have you met any? No. Have you ever known any? No, we just don't like them. Well, why? Well, because my dad told me, blah, blah, blah. Well, who told your dad that? You know, on and on and on. That goes with a lot of things. I'm going to be a football player. Well, why? Because my dad said that was a good thing to do. Is it something that you like? Well, yeah. Why do you like it? Well, because it makes my dad happy.
Right.
You know, or the other kids like me more. If I'm playing football,
mm-hmm.
on and on and on and on and on.
So is it all about favor? Is that what it's about?
So,
being accepted by other people?
Being accepted, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. And Jesus is quite the segue. I had also thought to talk today about how honest people are about their feelings when they're talking to other people. Well, part of that programming teaches us that that's not okay.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Okay. It is not okay. You can't be honest with somebody. If somebody does something that you don't like, generally, you don't really tell them. You might look at them. You know, you get that kind of faraway, glazed over look in your eyes.
Yeah.
And then you walk away, and either you treat them differently because they hurt your feelings and you don't feel comfortable saying anything to them about it, or you become angry and you take it out on another person or whomever, you let it out in a different way. That's, I believe, also a lot of what is challenging us these days. By the way, if anybody out there would like to call, the number is 530-265-9555. My name is Sienna Gold. The show is called Down to Earth. Thanks so much for listening. The show's on once a month, every third Monday of the month at 12:06 after the news comes on. And I'm joined here by Rebecca and Pam. Rebecca White, Pam Davis, and the mystery engineer, who we don't talk about really. So... We're talking today about programming, how we are being programmed to behave in life, our societal programming, and we just kind of segued into how you don't really tell people how you feel about things, about them, because of that programming.
Mm-hmm. I think being polite, you know, it's a part of our social programming, right? You know,
mm-hmm.
Certain aspects of being polite, and there are, you know, some good things coming out of that.
Yeah.
You know? But at the same time, there isn't an emphasis. At least there was missed you know, in my understanding, you know, politeness of being truthful and being honest, and in standing up for myself, mm-hmm. you know, and just compromising, you know, my own feelings, you know, and emotions for, you know, in the name of politeness, you know, and for the comfort of someone else, you know, because it is difficult, you know, to be completely honest, like, if, especially if there's something that I dislike, you know, and it's something that, that any of us dislike, that someone else is doing either to us or, you know, to someone else or just in general in their life. It's hard to share, you know, because there's a fear, you know, at least I know on my part, and I'm pretty sure this is general. There's a fear that my opinion will either be rejected or something that I say would cause pain or something that someone else says in response would cause me pain, which kind of goes back to what you're saying about pain and leaning into the pain. Mm-hmm. That's a difficult thing.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think a lot of these things, I believe, do kind of shape our social programming, you
right.
know, like, and not to delve too deeply in this, but religion, you know, itself, you know, is a, it is a for, it is a social programming, you know, it is where a lot of our social programming has come from. You know, there are guidelines within, I know for me, it's Christianity. There are guidelines to talk about, you know, how to interact with people, you know, not doing this or not doing that. Because doing this or doing that is positive or negative. You know what I mean?
Hmm.
So, you know, it's just there's a lot of tentacles, you know, within our social programming. But it does come down to what you were saying earlier about the pain that we feel, mm-hmm. you know, when we break out of that social programming or norm.
The programming is painful, is the point that I'm making, too. Did you have something?
I just wanted to say that when aligned with what she's saying. When I was in my grief group, there was a question they asked us one day, and it was about when people ask you how you are, what do you say? And we were all thinking, and some people were, well, you know, I just smile and say I'm doing okay and stuff. And I said, no. I said, if I'm around people like at the co-op or something, I go in and they'll say, how you doing today? And I said, I'm not doing so good. I need a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get my hug.
Mm-hmm.
And but that's because I just feel you need to be honest and not mm-hmm. hide that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, people have a tendency, not with just that, but with other things, they don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to, they've got to be politically correct. And they feel that, oh, I'm not going to tell them that I'm really feeling bad.
Right.
I'm going to tell them that, oh, yeah, it's okay. I'm doing all right.
Right.
And then go home and cry for hours. You know, I mean, I think that this is something that we need to break out of our programming.
Go ahead. Let me just say something here, right in line with what it is that you're talking about. The way that I see it, you have a choice about what you do here in your life. We're not here for a long time. You have a choice about how you want to live your life. If the programming works for you, have at it.
Well, yeah.
Okay? If it works for you to be with the norm, if the mainstream is safe for you and you really don't want to be going into Sienna World, which is a very interesting place, go stay there. Do your thing. That's just absolutely fine. At the end of the day, we're here to have an experience. That's why I keep saying the planet's not solid. Your body's not solid. And we've just imagined somehow this incredible world. And it's pretty cool. And it gets more and more complicated. So you decide how it is that you want to participate. My sense is, for in my world, if you would like to kind of have a different perspective on how life works and be more aligned, I would say, consciously aligned with whatever it is that grows those plants, because you're aligned whether you're conscious of it or not. Yeah. That's what I see. I'm consciously aligned with it, and it is the it's a magic carpet ride. Mm-hmm. It is amazing. It's amazing to me. I went through a lot of not being consciously aligned mm-hmm. with it, and that was when I was in programming or trying to comply with the programming, which never was comfortable for me, and the programming caused me a lot of pain. So it was that pain that drove me to seek out what I found, which is that being consciously aligned with that. So there is value in the programming as well. There's value in everything that we do that's available to us on the planet. It just depends on how it is that you want to participate. And what happens is that the more you, I'll say, open, the more options that become available to you. And the most amazing thing is the degree of pain diminishes dramatically. I have minimal pain in my life. Oh, I feel like crying. There was another thing. You were saying something about people, you had to do the thing with the society. Oh, I think I might have already said, I did already say that. I wanted to bring up another point, okay?
Please.
I was talking with somebody recently about rental cost. Mm. Rebecca is humming. They are off the flipping charts, and the F word is not the one I just used. Need I say more?
Child,
they are.
It's a struggle.
It is a struggle. It is beyond belief. So, I was talking with somebody who has a rental, and as we talked, it became apparent that they had been told by people who are professionals in that business that he could get X, Y, and Z for his house, which was lovely for him. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I kind of, in my way, I tend to tell the truth, and I tend to just kind of let her rip. In my way, I said, I didn't use these words, but how much money do you need? Really? How much money do you need at the end of the day? And I was being as diplomatic as I could. As I said, I didn't say it exactly that way. Mm-hmm. He immediately went to the defense and said, well, I get to do what I want to do with my money. You know, you don't get to tell me what to. But what he was missing was I was talking about what he's doing with my money. Mm-hmm. And I wound up being able to speak with him the next day. We have a wonderful rapport, he and I, just chatting, you know. And I was honest with him about the whole conversation. So we were talking about rent that I would be paying. Mm-hmm. And I said, I felt strong-armed. I felt pushed aside. I felt steamrolled. Because you wanted X, Y, Z, and anyway, I'm not going to go into the particulars. Well, what happened from there was that he heard me. He had already changed with the amount that he was going to ask me, but then he kind of finagled so he would wind up getting what he had originally asked, which is what I was questioning. Mm-hmm. But I could feel his attitude change when I was honest with him. Mm-hmm. And he looked at me during, we had talked for two, the following day we talked for a couple hours, and I felt safe enough to bring up the conversation that we had had the day earlier because I wanted to let him know how hurtful that was that he put me through that. And so I kind of put it out there and mentioned it, and he looked at me and he said, you're really strong. And I said, mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. And then he said, I don't think you really know just how strong you are. And I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, when you said that about, you know, how much do you need or whatever, something like that, he brought that up. And he said he was like shaking in his boots a little bit, which was surprising because he went immediately to defense and hard. He just went cold. which surprised me because I didn't realize that that was how he was actually feeling. Mm-hmm. If I had known that he was feeling that way, we would have come to a nice place before the following day. But it softened our relationship. I felt a lot better at the end of it. And he actually asked me for some advice on something else that he was working on, which is something I know he probably would not have done if we hadn't had that conversation. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, being honest is not comfortable. Mm-hmm. And he's right. I don't know my strength. I don't. Because I just kind of say, whoop, 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 and mm-hmm. you're hit with it. And you mentioned one time we were talking about something, Rebecca, about can people take the honesty? Can people take, mm-hmm. because we are so programmed and conditioned to be really far away from it. Can you really, you know, mm-hmm. does your head explode when somebody tells you the truth?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's so true.
I think some people do explode when you tell them. They can't, you know, that old movie where the guy says you can't handle the truth.
Right.
And I think there are some people who cannot. They have been programmed enough that if you tell them that, they can't handle it.
Right. Yeah. So we're talking here. My name is Sienna Gold. I've been encouraged to keep mentioning that during the show. And should I read this? This, yeah. Do I need to read it? Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I was talking about the views expressed on the show are those of the speaker or speakers only and are not necessarily those of KVMR, our board, staff, volunteers, or contributors. Once again, my name is Sienna Gold. This show is called Down to Earth, and thanks so much for joining us. So how are you guys feeling about and I've got Rebecca and Pam here. How are you guys feeling about this whole subject matter?
I feel like it is important, you know, to talk about. I think it's a subject matter that a lot of people talk about, at least, you know, in the... And I know you do not like this this particular term, but in the healing community.
No. Okay, so let's put this to rest right now, because when you were gone, we did a healing show. Yes, we missed you. Yeah, okay, so here's my feeling about healing. Uh-huh. My feeling about healing. Oh. Okay, uh-huh. Healing is okay when you're starting. If you've got a stubbed toe and your toenail comes off, that needs to be healed. Okay, mm-hmm. That kind of healing, we're good. As far as healing emotionally, the belief that you need to be healed is fine when you're starting your discovery of yourself. This is how I look at things. Mm-hmm. When you're starting your discovery of yourself, there are things that we humans do to make you feel better. One of them is healing. Another one is let's release the pain. That's another big one. We're going to write it all down on a piece of paper and put it in the fire, and it's going to go away forever. That's another thing that we do. We look for ways to fix the situation. What I discovered after going through all of that, I've done ceremonies after ceremony after. I've done it all. I've meditated. I've shaved my head. I wore all white. I went to an ashram. I walked across fire. I jumped out of trees. I rappelled down mountains. I did it all. I did all of it. Read books, classes, courses, workshops. I did everything I possibly could do. And what I found is that there's nothing to do about any of it. There's nothing to do about any of it. You stop and you sit and you pay attention to it. Not in the, Vipassana. I'm not talking about Vipassana. I'm talking about you walking down the street and something happened, or you being home or talking to somebody you know, and something happens that's really difficult for you, and you get upset or hurt, and then you suppress it. You watch that. You don't stop the suppressing. You don't make yourself feel. You don't have to. You've got plenty of information from one second to the next. Mm-hmm. If you want to do a meditation, if you have to, I ask my clients to stop meditating. You do a walking meditation if that makes you feel better. Just pay attention to what's happening in your life while it's happening, and that's what shifts things.
So more like a contemplation than
something more like okay, I don't like you. You're not contemplating it. Somebody says something to you, and I don't like what you said. I don't like you because you said that. And you're hurting my feelings, and my feelings, I'm really upset about it. My feelings really hurt. Boy, I could really use a ham sandwich right now. It's not even contemplating. It's watching what your life does, paying attention to your life, and pay attention to where you don't pay attention to your life. Pay attention to where you go on or get hurt and go on automatic pilot. You don't realize that you're suppressing your feelings. That's what I'm talking about. You start paying attention to what happens when you hurt, what hurts you, how it hurts you, and what you do about it. You don't have to fix anything. You can't fix it. You don't need to. It's not healing. It's we inside of these cars that we call bodies having these experiences. So you're having experiences here. You're having experiences on the planet. That you don't need to heal them. You need to pay attention and see where it takes you. See where your human, the human part of you goes with it.
That was the part that I was going to, you just answered the question I was going to have. So to what end? But then you said to see where it goes.
Right. If you do what I'm suggesting and just feel how you're feeling in your experiences as a human being, those feelings get integrated. They calm down and they get integrated. And when that happens, who it is that you are inside of this body emerges more clearly. That's the experience I'm having. And who you are inside of this body is an aspect of whatever grows those plants, which means that those feelings, the feelings of whatever grows those plants, go out onto this planet and bring experiences in. Right now, your human feelings are going out onto the planet and bringing experiences in. And when you're having difficult experiences, that means your human pain is going out onto the planet and bringing in experiences. Okay, so that's okay. That's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It is what it is.
That makes me feel... I'm sorry, were you going to say something?
Oh, go ahead.
That makes me feel blessed. You know, to have, you know, all of these... Blessed to have the experience that I'm having, you know. And that's a new perspective, you know, for me. And then also blessed to have all these different types of modalities and experiences, you know, within the healing community that, you know, you were talking about, like all the things to, you know, to do that kind of just leads to an experience, you know. And I resonate with what, you know, what you said in my mind when I was like, but to what end? You know, you're like, but it just kind of came out. You were like, you know, to see where it leads. And I'm like, oh, yes. That brings it back to the fact that it is kind of just like a journey.
It is
an unveiling. It is an, you know, it is an experience, you know, and to not judge or to judge, you know, it's like, it's, you know, and so that makes me feel, you know, like, you know, okay, you know, with, you know, experiencing all of these things, going to a group at night that I'm like,
right,
what is this going to be?
Which is great.
You know?
Yeah. What were you going to say, Pam?
Playing on what she said was just that, at my age, I look back on my life and I see where every experience was connected to the next experience. That I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't had all of those experiences.
Right.
Because they all led to the awareness of whatever I am having come through.
Right. Yeah, and the thing too is that when people who are interested in the healing community and doing the healing arts, there's a place for that. And when you're really impacted and having a lot of difficulty as a human being, there's a place for that. That kind of shakes it loose. But as you continue, you find, wait a minute, I'm really exactly where I was before I went through the healing, but with a different perspective. We have a phone call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Ella? Sienna.
Hi.
Hi. Well, listen, I'm really enjoying your program and just reflecting, you know, I sort of have an anger management problem, and my anger management problem is I'm angry with myself when I don't express my anger.
Oh, boy, and you've got double whammy going on.
Well, I had a bit of a blowout with somebody, and after that I said, you know, I'm really glad we did this because I feel oh so much better, and we got stuff out, and now we can talk about it. But most of the time when I express my anger with people, I get shut down, I get closed out of their life, I mean...
Well,
person didn't talk to me, you know.
Yeah, I feel a blocking, like I feel a thickness in my throat as you're talking.
That's which, how I feel.
Yeah, well, and I don't know if it was your dad, but that's who I'm seeing. And it just feels like you were taught to keep your mouth shut, just to keep it to yourself. There's not a there's not room for you. Did you have a brother?
Yeah, who committed suicide.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, because that, as I was talking about keep it to yourself, I felt your brother. And I feel a lot, now, of course, I'm getting a lot of sadness go through my system. Your anger has to do with having quite a bit to say and with valid points and of great value and being treated as if you were less than who it is that you are and not being able to do anything about it. That's what I'm feeling.
Yeah, and that has been my circumstance.
Yeah. Is that what was happening when you were growing up?
Sure. It was not allowed to be angry. Mom was the only one allowed to be angry.
Yeah.
When Dad came home, the house had to be clean and quiet and we had to go away. And if I did express myself to him, he's passed, but...
He'd what?
Sure, it was... He's passed now, but when I did try to express myself, he would interrupt me, he would shut me down, he would act like I wasn't even in the room sometimes.
Yeah. So remember this. Yeah, I've got a headache now. My eyes are hurting, and this is your pain going through my system. That's what I'm describing. If you just let yourself feel how this feels... Okay, when you're angry with somebody, pay attention to how angry you are, because you were devalued, that's the word I'm getting, as a kid, and feel how that feels when you're interacting with people. I think if you start paying attention, you'll see that your anger comes from somebody not giving you credit for who it is that you are, what it is that you're contributing. And that, and I just feel a kind of confusion washing over you when that happens, which tongue ties you sometimes, not all the time, because I think you do know how to express yourself once you get going. If you start paying attention to that and the discomfort that you feel about being angry, that'll lead you to the feelings that you had when you were a kid, which will, if you just feel them, that will get that integrated for you and your experiences will shift. You don't have to stop being angry, and you don't have to stop being angry with yourself for being angry. That's a childhood thing. You okay?
Yeah, I do get it, and I do need to sit with it and just let it be, let it wash through me. And...
Yeah. Excuse me, just FYI, there's a part that's saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. There's you have a really belligerent girl in there. And the one who just said, yeah, well, okay, I'm just going to let it wash through me. That's the one that your dad, if you were a man, your dad would have emasculated that part.
Right.
Okay. So those are two different parts, because you're pretty fierce in there. You're smart. And you knew what you were talking about. You know what you're talking about, but you're not always credited for that, which is infuriating. So remember, it's not better to not be angry. That's not what I'm trying to get across. The deal is that you're angry, you're ashamed of your anger, and you want to make it better, which is the one who just talked now. Okay, I'll just sit with it. There's that one, and then you have the other one that's like, I'm not sitting with any flippin' thing. I'm going to, you know, that part, feel that part too.
Right.
Is that making sense
right.
to you?
Yes, I am pissed, and I don't want to be destroyed. I feel like I'll be destroyed.
Listen to how you shifted just through this little conversation here. You feel like you'd be destroyed. Yes.
do.
That one who just spoke, yeah, I am pissed. You just said, I'm pissed. And then that was very different than, okay, I'll sit with it. That's the one that your father pushed aside or pushed down and told you to be quiet and you don't have anything to say. You don't have any worth. And then the other one is the other one I was talking about, said, yeah, I'm pissed. Can you see the difference in those two?
Yes, I do, Sienna.
Yeah, that's the deal. That's where to go. They're both okay. They are equal. Uh-huh. You are who you are. You feel what you feel.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, conditioning. Good subject, ladies. Hey. I certainly appreciate it.
Good. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the call, too. Thank you. We appreciate you calling. Take care now.
All right, I will.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay.
Thanks, Sienna.
You're welcome. By the way, if you can reach me at 530-477-8008. I have a website that is terrible. I'm just saying. And that is feelslikegold.com. F is in Frank, E-E-L-S, likegold.com. These shows are archived, so you can listen to them. I've been on like 7 or 8 years now. It's a long time talking about this stuff. So the show is called Down to Earth. My name again is Sienna Gold. Anybody have any closing remarks? Because we're getting close to time, aren't we? How much more time do we have? 2 more minutes? So that's actually quite a bit of time.
Yeah, that's good, yeah. Actually.
So anybody have anything to say?
Well, I think if I were to say anything, it would be we need to find out who we are and be that person. I know when I was teaching, one of the little things I used to do was give the kids a piece of paper and say, write down everything that you are. And they just look at me like with this lost look. And I said, you know who you are, write it down. And pretty soon it became easier and easier for them to do that. And I think that that would be the first thing. Know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And then be that person.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
And then mine would be just, you know, in my experience and what I'm learning is just being okay with experiencing things. Like being just okay with whatever the experience is. And what I'm trying to learn now is to not push away, you know, any type of like experience, because that is my instinct. Like the negative, and I have air quotes here, guys. The negative, you know, emotions, you know, and feelings and the pains, like, oh, I don't want to. So what I go to is food because that feels good. and that will just make it a little bit, that'll smooth over the rough feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know,
so what are you gonna, okay. What are you saying now?
Being okay with the experience, whatever it may be.
So you know? You're okay with the frustration or the pain and with the eating? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, is that I am coming to that realization. I'm not saying that I'm there.
Okay. So you're not okay with the eating?
But no, I'm not.
Okay.
But being okay with not being okay with
that.
There
you go. You got it. Yeah. It's just simply paying attention mm-hmm. to what you're doing. That is it. And understanding that anything that comes into your life, some part of you has brought it in. That's the thing about the planet that we're steered away from understanding. That it's not, oh, look what they did to me. Oh, no. It's look what they did to me. What part of me brought that experience into my life? And it's a little part, a young part of you. So, yeah, you once you really get that this experience on this planet, in this experience, your feelings go out and experiences that match those feelings come in. And then we, with our human conditioning, are taught that that's a good thing or that's a bad thing or that's wrong or any whatever it is that goes right back to what we were talking about with programming. Once we shift our perspective about that by allowing it just to be there, just watching it, you don't accept it, you allow it, everything moves. And you do get, in my personal experience, you do get that clear, that clear understanding and ability to participate with whatever it is that grows the plants, that's always there with you. We're always in partnership. We just don't know it. All right. I guess that's the end of the show. Once again, my name is Sienna Gold. Thank you, Pam. Thank you, Rebecca. We'll see you on, hold on a second, let me see, when we're coming back in September, unless there's a drive. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. So September 16th. Thanks so much for your time, folks, and have a good month. Bye.